Noach leaves the Teva, it's probably something that's quite traumatic for him. After all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu encourages him in a few different instances to get on with regular life, with having a family, and Noach seems to be a little bit resistant. Let's take a look at the Psukim. There's some Chumashim here. I'd like to be medayik a little bit in the Psukim. In the beginning of Revi, in Perichas, Pasuk Tezvav. Vayidaber Elokim al Noach Leimar. Kadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Noach. Tzei min ha-teva. Atov v'ishlecha uvanecha neshe vanecha itach. Leave the teva, you and your wife, and your sons and daughters. Your sons and daughter-in-laws. Rashi immediately says, aha. Pasuk Tezayin Rashi. Atov v'ishlecha. Ish v'ishto. Kan hitulem tashmish hamita. What's the omic of what Rashi is saying? Rashi says, first the words, Rashi says that now, Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying, you should continue on, have a regular family life. God's a little bit hard to, quote unquote, rely on right now. You know, he just destroyed everybody that has walked the earth, but Kadosh Baruch Hu tells him, no, atav ishtecha, go out. Why did Rashi learn from Atav Ishtecha that now they were commanded to procreate? So, where did Rashi get this from? So if you take a look, earlier on, Rashi made another deal. Rashi said earlier, when Noach goes into the table, on Perek Zayin, Pasuk Zayin, Vayavo Noach uvonav v'ishto, uneshev vonav ito al ha-teva. So over there, the Torah tells us, and Rashi makes the observation, that Noach went with his sons, says Rashi over there, Ha'anoshim levad, v'hanoshim levad, l'fi shenesru v'tashmish hamito. They weren't supposed to be together. So maybe Rashi, once he has that Masair al-Pi Chazal, to make the diuk in that direction, to make the diuk that they went in separately, to emphasize that they weren't supposed to be together. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling him, Tzei min ha-teva, go out, atav v'ishlecha. Okay, but how does Noach go out? Pasuk Yud Ches, let's add a little bit, I didn't see anybody that says this, but I think it's Mukhruch the diuk that we're making now. Pasuk Yud Ches, Vayetzei Noach uvona, v'ishto neshev vona vita. Noach doesn't internalize the message that he's supposed to go out. Noach goes out with the men and women separately. They're not ready to make that new start. Which goes to show, just the first lesson in terms of Shalom Bayis, and that is that it's sometimes when a person knows cerebrally that there's something that they're supposed to do, but to habituate a particular change in marital interaction is something that's not easy to do. It requires time, it requires effort. And here, Noach has already undergone a trauma. And once he's undergone a trauma, so then it's harder, then it's something that's going to be even harder to change. So in Perek Tes Pasuk Aleph, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells him again, Perek Tes Pasuk Aleph, Vayivarech Elokim Esnoach, Vesbona Vayomelem Pruer Vum Milas Haaretz. So here Kadosh Baruch Hu gives Noach a bracha. And then he gives him a new tzivui about how to eat. Now he's supposed to partake of animals. That's a separate topic in of itself. But still not enough. So according to the way we're reading it, there have already been three references to starting family life. Yet, ultimately, there's another one. Pasuk Zayin, the Perek concludes, the Stuma appears after this. Va'atem, Chamishi, right before Chamishi, Va'atem, Pruervu, Shirtsu, Va'aretsu, Uruvuva. Rashi comments, based on the Gemara in Ksubas Daf Hei, that the first mentions of Ayivarech is a bracha. So says Rashi, Lefi Pshuta HaRishon LeBracha, V'kam LeTzivui. So only over here is there an actual command, mint that's given. And what Rashi is saying is very much meduyak in the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Nuntes Amid Beis. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Nuntes Amid Beis tells us the well-known Yisod, that everything that was given before Matan Torah was Chazra V'Nishnas Har Sinai, it was repeated again at Har Sinai, And there, the Gemara's example in regards to Pru'er Avu. And the Gemara there says that the command, Gemara quotes a pasuk, of the Atem Pru'er Avu was repeated again in Har Sinai. So the command of Pru'er Avu for Bnei Noach, our topic today is Kedushin for Yisrael and Kedushin for Bnei Noach. The command for Kedushin by Bnei Noach, maybe that's a misnomer, Kedushin, marriage for Bnei Noach and for Bnei Yisrael, the command for Bnei Noach emerges from this week's parsha of Atem Pru'er Avu. The Marsha is bothered. Fine. Noach, according to the way we were developing Alpi Machshava, Noach needs to be coaxed. Beseder. The Marsha asks, but why is it that when Chazal are choosing a tzivui, Chazal chose the tzivui of Parshas Noach and not Parshas Bereishis? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where did Chazal see that Bereishis is a bracha and Parshas Noach is a tzivui? Where did you see that? That's what the Marsha is bothered by in Sanhedrin on Nuntes Amabez. The Marsha has an arichus there, Ayin Sham. For our purposes, the Marsha understands that the fact that it's written Beloshon Rabim Ve'atem seems to be that Kadosh Baruch Hu is not talking to a particular couple. He's talking to the paradigmatic couple. And if he's talking to the paradigmatic couple, he's talking in plural. All you couples in the world are going to have a tzivui of Pru'er Avu. In contrast to when it's mentioned in Parshas Bereishis, so there it's speaking particularly to Adam and Chava, so there, Vayivarech Olsam Elokim, Vayomer Lehem Elokim, Pru'er Avu Miluas Haaretz, so Chazal take that as only being a bracha, and not being anything more than that, being a tzivui. And not only, there are other times in Parshas Bereishis that we have the mention of Pru'er Avu, nevertheless, in all instances, it's not understood as being a tzivui because it's something that's particular to Adam and Chava. This is the mahalach of the Marsha. Of course, in Machshava, what the Marsha is not addressing is why. That's fine. Marsha is explaining Shas. When we're learning Shas, most of the time we're not supposed to be thinking about these things. Most of the time we're supposed to be pounding away in the Gemara. But Thursday night, we could chill out a little bit. And on Thursday night, we could ask a little bit of the why questions. And that is, so why is it that when it comes to, in Parshas Noach, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu there speak to everybody? And in Parshas Bereishis, he's speaking a bracha, particularly to Adam and Chava. Why is the tzivui to Bnei Noach given specifically over there? The Kli Chemda has a different mahalach. Kli Chemda, I think we've mentioned this once before. We were ma'arich on the Kli Chemda's position in other directions, in the context of the mitzvah of Pru'er Avu. That's not our focus tonight. But the Kli Chemda suggests the following reason that there's a need for a new tzivui. If I understand what he's saying, he's building off, one Polish giant is building off of the yesod of another Polish giant. In Parshas Bereishis, the Kli Chemda builds the famous yesod of the Minchas Chinuch that we've discussed in the past. The Minchas Chinuch says that the mitzvah of Pru'er Avu is not the act of marriage. The mitzvah of Pru'er Avu is not the act of marital relations. But rather, the mitzvah of Pru'er Avu is having children. That's the mitzvah, to have children. What is the mitzvah of having children as opposed to getting married? So the Minchas Chinuch, as opposed to the act. So the Minchas Chinuch says, well, what would the halacha be if someone has a child who's a mamzer? At the same moment that they were doing the Maisa Aveira, if that was a mitzvah of Pru'er Avu, that can't exist. The two can't coexist with each other. We should say it's a mitzvah habal b'aveira. Or how would we explain the halacha that if someone was mekayim Pru'er Avu, they did the act, they had a child, and then God forbid the child died, the Gemara Yivama says that they have to have a new child. There's a new chiyuv of Pru'er Avu. Obviously, if a person is an ones, of course, that's a different story. But if a person is able to have a child, so then in such a case, then they're kind of the mitzvah of Pru'er Avu. Only when they are constantly having children. So we see from here, says the Minchas Chinuch, that the mitzvah of Pru'er Avu is the result of having children. It says the Klei Chemda like this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu just commanded Adam to have children and he destroyed all the children. He destroyed everybody except for Noah. So Klei Chemda says that maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed to give a new tzivui. HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed to say that there's a new tzivui over here of maintaining the world, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu almost ended it. Yesh Laden, what the Klei Chemda is saying. I'm not convinced that what the Klei Chemda is saying is so muchruch. But in many ways, I want to bring out that there's something striking over here. Why is it that the tzivui for B'nai Noach, the tzivui of Pru Urvu, is understood in the Gemara in Sanhedrin as being here in this week's Parsha and not in Parshas Bereishis? Interestingly, where does the Minchas Chinuch put it? Minchas Chinuch puts it as in Bereishis.
But
the Sefer HaChinuch, I meant. So it's in Bereishis, but if you read the Gemara based on the Marasha, so then that is an interesting. The Pashtus is that it emerges from Parshas Noach. In order to answer this question, Al Pi Machshava, I'd like to go off, turn onto another highway, and the highway begins in regards to the sugya of Kiddushin with a strange Rashi that all the other Rishonim seem to disagree with on the Aftes HaMebeis in Kiddushin. Rashi in Kiddushin on Tes HaMebeis describes the Makar for Bia. Everybody spends a lot of time on Kesef and Shtar. Isha Niknes B'Shol Shadrachim B'Kesef B'Shtar. What's the Makar that a man can marry a woman with Bia? What's that source? So the Gemara, right off the bat, on Tes HaMebeis, quotes Rabbi Avo in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, who mentions Be'ulas Baal. Many Rishonim understood this Be'ulas Baal as referring to the Pasuk in Bereishis, where Avimelech says to Avram, Sarah is a Be'ulas Baal, Vihi Be'ulas Baal. And they are puzzled by why Rashi does not learn this way, and Rashi goes to the Pasuk in Parshas Kiseitzei, why does Rashi not go? It seems it could very well be that there were many Rishonim who even had the Girsa in the Gemara, Vihi Bu'ulas Baal. And Rashi goes to the Pasuk of Bu'ulas Baal in Devarim. Again, what does the Pasuk show? The Pasuk shows that if a woman has relations with a man, it's called the Bia of a Baal. A Baal is a biblical expression for a husband. So that shows us that the man becomes the woman's husband. So here, the Marasha again. Marasha says that the pshat in the Gemara in Kiddushin is the following. Why did Rashi go to the pasuk of Vihi Be'ulas? Why did he leave the pasuk of Vihi Be'ulas Baal? So the Marasha says, oh, I'll tell you why. It's in Parshas Kiseitzei. Kisimatzei Ish. Shachav im isha, what's the exact lashon? Ki matze ish shochev im isha be'ulas ba'al. So there, Rashi is doing something interesting. Says the Marasha, I'll tell you a very simple reason why. Because there's something different between the marriage of Bia, which forges marriage for Yisrael, and the Bia of an Akum that forges marriage for a Gentile. We know that there's marriage by a Gentile. However, that marriage is fundamentally different than the marriage of a Jew. Therefore, Avram Avinu, since he's from Kodeh Matan Torah, we're not assuming now that the Mahalach of the Mekubalim that say that Avram Avinu has a din of a Yisrael, let's assume that the more standard approach, Avram Avinu doesn't have a din of a Yisrael. So therefore, that Makar, Vihi Be'ulas Baal, is not going to be relevant for us when we're talking about Kedushin for a Yisrael and a Yisraelis. This is the explanation that the Marasha gives. So let's examine a little bit more of this chiluk. The chiluk between the Bia, which works to create Kedushin for a guy, versus the Bia that works to create Kedushin for a Yisrael. What is the difference in this quality? So first of all, let's just spell out some distinctions between what creates Kedushin for Yisrael and what creates Kedushin for a Goy. Yerushalmi in Kedushin, Aleph Aleph, points out that the only Kedushin that works for a Gentile couple is Bia. That's the only thing that works. There, the Yerushalmi has a machlokas between Rabbi Yonah and Rabbi Elazar, whether all Bia creates Kedushin, or just Bia with a Kavana for marriage creates Kedushin. Rabbi Yonah says, goes so far as to say, even if the couple only intended to have Znus, but by definition, once they have Bia with each other, that makes them married, it turns her into an Ishus Ish. Rabbi Elazar disagrees. Rabbi Elazar says they have to intend to live a domestic life together. However, it's the only way that you could be Mekadesh a woman. Of course, this falls within the famous Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Ishus, where the Rambam describes the state of marriage before Matan Torah. Kodem Matan Torah, before Matan Torah, the Rambam writes that if a man would meet a woman in the Shuk, and they would decide to live with each other. When we have, prior to Matan Torah, it's the same, at first glance, it's the same Bia, but we already see from the Yerushalmi and the Rambam that they're doing two totally, totally different things. So again, that's why the Marashah says, Bidas Rashi, that there are two different makoros, and Rashi doesn't want to use v'hi bulas baal because that's the makor that's before Matan Torah. Now, for the next few minutes, I'd like to flesh out exactly what are the halachic ramifications of this chiluk. The chiluk between marriage as expressed through Kedusha Bia by Yisrael and the Bia of a Goy, what is the distinction between the two? And what is the scope of this distinction? Let's put it in very, very simple terms. Very, very practical terms. Let's say there's a couple, a Jewish couple, that gets married in communist Russia 40 years ago through an entirely civil atheist marriage, and now they've been living together, and the woman comes to the United States. She has no idea if her husband is alive or dead. She becomes a little bit more religious. She always remembers that her grandparents made Kiddush. It's been verified that she's Jewish, and now she wants to get remarried. We have no idea whether her husband is alive or dead. No way to get in touch with him to get a get from the first husband. Is that woman a married woman or not? This was a very important issue, probably the most important issue in Hilchos Ishus that Klal Yisrael faced in the last 50 years. So let's go to a basic makar that Rav Henkin, the great poskim, Rav Henkin and Rav Moshe Feinstein fought about. And maybe once we flesh out the machlokas between Rav Moshe and Rav Henkin, the famous machlokas between Rav Moshe and Rav Henkin, then we'll be able to have a little bit of an understanding of the chiluk between Kedusha Bia by Yisrael, Kedusha Bia by Goy, and see what import this has for the parsha and ultimately for our own avodah as well. The Rivash in Simin Vav in his Tshuvas writes about a tragic case. There's a woman who is, like many of the Jews of the time, I think it might have been Spain, who was an anusa. She was forced, based on conditions that were unbearable, to live as a Gentile with her husband. They got married in a church, married in a Catholic church, and she was forced to live as a Gentile her entire marriage. She escaped. It was a Jewish man. She escaped. She finally came to a place where Jews were able to practice religion in a relatively free manner. And now she was an aguna, her husband couldn't be found. She wanted to marry again. Does she need a get or does she not need a get? Says the Rivash, Lefisha datam rak lekadesh apiku hukoseyem. Since their das, when they got married, was to get married through the rules of the secular court, as kedushayin rak hukas ha'akum. Then their kedushin is not kedushin of Yisrael. By the way, this is not a verbatim quote. This is a summary. But the Rivash says that in such a case, the kedushin is not considered a valid kedushin, and therefore, he's mechadesh the following. He says there's no need for a get. He points out there is an important machlokis that's relevant to this discussion. The Rambam in Perek Yud Halacha Yutes, he disagrees with the scope of the Yisod, quotes the Gaonim. The Gaonim are of the opinion that we almost always evoke the rule, Chazaka ein adam osa bilaso bilaznos. That in general, a person, we have this klal in Ksubis, in the first parak of Ksubis, in general we say that there's a chazaka that a person would never allow their bia to be one that's of znus, and therefore the assumption is that it's of marriage. Zokta rivaj, when do we say chazaka ein adam osa bilaso bilaznos? That's when we have some type of question. Well, we have a question, what was the mindset? Was it a biyaznus or not? So then we have a chazaka. Chazaka in adam osa bilaso bilaznus. But they walked into a church and they got married based entirely on the premises of the chukas hagayim. So in such a case, it's not the kedushin of Yisrael. That's it. It's out of that purview. As I zapped the rivash. Comes along Rav Henkin, and Rav Henkin says, I don't think the Rivash should be applied to the case of our woman. Rav Moshe makes reference to Rav Henkin. Rav Henkin has a sefer that's hard to access. Of course, Rav Moshe's tshuvas, it's one of the fascinating things of history. If you had asked in 1960 in New York, who are the poskei hador, probably Rav Henkin's name might have even been mentioned even before Rav Moshe's name. But it's very, very interesting. Today, Rav Henkin, but the next generation, in other words, my children might not even know who Rav Henkin was. Maybe even now, Talmidim in the Kolo, maybe Talmidim already still in Yeshiva, who are in Yeshiva, don't even know who Rav Henkin is. The next generation, unfortunately, might very well not know who Rav Henkin was altogether. But if you went to Lower East Side in 1960, you had a Shaila. Rav Moshe Feinstein is Rashi of MTJ, Shemens Tam Chokhmas, Rayin Shas and Chuvas. Rav Henkin was one of the most important poskim as well. Both of them were great. Rav Henkin was a tremendous posek. But Rav Henkin's svarim are hard to access sometimes. So if you want to see the Masa Umata, the best way to see it is in the Igris Moshe, in Chelek Aleph, in Evin Ezer, Simen Ayin Dalet. Rav Henkin argues that the Rivash was talking about a case of where she was an anusa mitchila v'atzof. She was mamish, she was under gunpoint from the moment that she was, let's say, 15 years old, and the Catholic extremists took over, so she's been on gunpoint ever since. So if she's been at gunpoint ever since, so then, in such a case, then her das was entirely mufka from Kedushas Yisrael. Again, she's an anusa. The Rambam has, of course, a beautiful Igeres, where he describes not to shun those people, but she's an anusa mitchila v'atzof. So then, in such a case, her das was not to get married altogether, and then maybe the halacha would be so. However, Rav Henkin says, if the couple, it's not a case that's so extreme that they're anusim, but rather they're in a situation and they fully intend to live as husband and wife. It's almost as if Rav Henkin looks at this woman as viewing her entire life as one big case of being an anusa. Everything is anusa. There's no das over here at all. It's hard to imagine that our great grandparents, our great uncles, our great aunts lived that condition only 50, 60 years ago during the Holocaust. There's no das. There's no das in such a case. He says there's no das mitchila v'atzof. There's nothing mitfilah v'atzofa. However, Rav Henkin says, what if there is das? And they decide to live as a husband and wife. So then, in such a case, there's a full-fledged marriage. There's a full-fledged marriage over here. The fact they didn't do bia, kedas Moshe v'Yisrael, doesn't take away the fact that they're entirely married with each other. Mehechi teisi, that the bia has to be done with the tnayim of kedas Moshe v'Yisrael. However, Rav Moshe says not that way. Rav Moshe assumes, and this is the way I understand it, Rabosai, this is bikatonti, I'm not saying it's halacha l'maisa, this is the way I understand the machlokas, please ask people that are greater than me if they understand the machlokas this way as well. But Rav Moshe seems to say differently. Rav Moshe understands? No. He says, if a Jewish person gets married, and the marriage is not kedas Moshe v'Yisrael, it's clear that it's not kedas Moshe v'Yisrael, then in such a case, that bia is not a bia of kedushin. Halachically, it's a bia osmos. Who, of course, is the great Maitbil over here? Rav Moshe comes out to be the big Maitbil. Because Rav Moshe says, based on this, they've never been married up until now. And then in such a case, practically, Rav Moshe became the Maitbil. Of course, you could construct nafkaminas in both directions. But practically, Rav Moshe became the big Maitbil because what happens now is the woman comes to Israel, comes to the United States, can now get married to a person who is Jewish, because the previous marriage is not considered a full-fledged marriage. If you will, maybe we could crunch the machlokas in the following way. According to Rav Henkin, he seems to be understanding that there are two levels of marriage. There's a kedushin of Bnei Noach, and then, which is called the Matan Torah, and then after Matan Torah, they added on to it another madreka of Erusin and Nisuin, and so on, and all of those components are the kedushin of Yisrael, which is called the Matan Torah plus. Called the Matan Torah plus. According to Rav Moshe, after Matan Torah creates an entirely new Metzius. And therefore, if the marriage is being built on the premises of Kodem Matan Torah, so then in such a case, the marriage has no halachic status for a Jew. It only has halachic status for Bnei Noach. So is our marriage, another way to put it, is our marriage Bnei Noach plus to be called a marriage? But if it's still living as Bnei Noach, it still creates a chalosa kedushin? Or no, it's an entirely new metzius. Again, this is my basic understanding of the machlokas. Please let me know what you think about it as well. So this is the fundamental machlokas between them. This is a big machlokas. Fascinating machlokas, and it relates really to how we understand the distinction that the Gemara, the Yerushalmi, is developing and the Rambam is developing. Let me give you a couple of applications before we develop this idea in the Parsha and Machshava. Let me give you another couple of fascinating lamdasha applications of this gang, of this way of looking at things. This way of understanding Kedushas Yisrael and its Kedusha. There's a fascinating machlokas between the Avnei Meluyim and the Pnei Yoshua in regards to a very complicated halachic case. It's a case of someone who is Mekadesh a Shifcha Charufa. You don't have to worry too much about the details of the case. The Avnei Meluyim is in Simen Memhei, in the Avnei Meluyim. I'm gonna bring out the machlokas more in terms of the yiso than in the details. What happens if you have a woman who's a chatzi shifcha chatzi baschorin, who's already mu'reses le'eved ivri, she's already engaged to an eved ivri, and then someone else comes along and is mekadesh her? So you have a shifcha charufa that is an isur lav to be with a shifcha charufa. And she now has a regular Yisrael that comes over and is Mekadesh her. He says, Arev Mekudesh Asli. is the Kedushin Chal or not? So the Pnei Yehoshua writes that the Kedushin is not Chal. Why? He says, because when it comes to the her Kedushin, her Kedushin is dependent on whose Rishus she is. Since she's already married to another person, she already goes into the Rishus of that person. And once a woman is in the Rishus of one man, then you can't be married to him, to her. However, the Avnei Miluyim disagrees. The Avnei Miluyim says, the Isser to be with the Shifcha Charufa, to marry a Shifcha Charufa, to live with a Shifcha Charufa, is Isser Lach. However, the Isser of Eishas Ish is Isser Mises Bezdin. So he says, since you're being Mosif in Isser with the Kedushin, you're adding more Isurim, so then it's a simen that the Kedushin could be Chal. So Rav Itzel Aponovitcher explained that this machlokis between the Avnei Miluyim and the Pnei Yehoshua revolves around the following question. Why is it that Kedushin is not tofes by an Eishes Ish? What's the reason Kedushin is not tofes by an Eishes Ish? Is the reason why Kedushin is not tofes by an Eishes Ish because she's simply in the Rishus of somebody else? Those of you who remember the Rashi's in Kedushin and Daf Beis, Lios Bershusa Linase La'acha, Rashi might be heading in that direction, that she's in the man's Rishus. Then, that's the Shita of Pnei Yehoshua, that Kedushin would not be Chal. However, there's another component in that the way they say over in the yeshivas. And Rav Itzel Aponovitcher emphasizes this idea that there's another bechina of kinyan kedushin. Kinyan kedushin is not only being in the rishus of the Baal, but there's also a kinyan called the kinyan isur. Anytime there's more isur that's being added, so then there's room for kedushin to be chal. Why is that so? What's the svara behind it? Well, we all know that the more chomer the iser, that's a basic yisod in Kabbalah Musar, the greater the iser, the greater the madrega of kedusha. So, if the yisod is that the essence of kedushin by Yisrael is different than by a ben Noach, it's just a question she's in his rishus. Once she's in his rishus, then in such a case she's an eishes ish and she can't be married to everybody else. Lekulei alma, once a woman, a Gentile woman is with a man, so then she's Bereshuso. However, when it comes to Kedushin of Yisrael, there's a different din that's at play. When it comes to Kedushin of Yisrael, there's another Bechina of the Kinyan Yisr Shabbo. And the East, the Chomer of Yisr, I'm adding to what Rav Itzel Aponovitcher is saying, the Chomer of Yisr shows us the greater propensity of Kedusha. Once the Chomer of Yisr reflects that greater propensity of Kedusha, so then we see that there's another Bechina that's entirely at play that's unrelated to Kedusha and Ben Noach. So let's summarize what we've done up until now. I want to give one more Nachmina, but just to summarize what the structure that we've done. Went through the Psukim, we asked the question of why we have the Tzivui, ultimately of Pruvu and Parshas Noach, and that part we didn't answer. We then went on and pointed out that Rashi, that we gave an answer to the Marsha, we gave an answer to Kli Chemda, but we didn't give another Mahalach. Rashi in Kedusha and Daf Tes Amud Beis points out that there's a fundamental difference between Kedusha Bnei Noach and the Kedusha of Yisrael, to the point that marriage of Bnei Noach, we would never use that pasuk of Vehi Bulas Baal for the Makar for Kedusha of Yisrael. What's the difference between the two? Well, Chodem Matan Torah, it's just Bia, and the raw act of Bia, Ad Kedekach, the Maises Nus itself will create Kedushin for a guy. When it comes to Yisrael, it's a totally different Bechina of Erisin and Nisuin, which we need to develop a little bit more, that Bechina of Erisin and Nisuin. And that Bechina, it seems, is entirely different halacha. What's the scope of how different is it? Well, punchline, we went through the Tshuva Sarivash and so on, and Ramesh's understanding, Ramesh says it's so different, that to the point in which if a person is doing the exact same act that for Yisrael would do Kedushin, but assumes the entire premises of it is that it's being done B'chukas HaGoyim as B'nai Noach would, then it doesn't even serve as Kedushin for Yisrael. And Henkin doesn't go so far. But Ramesh takes this idea that the quality of the Kedushin is so different, It reaches that result. What would be one nafkamina? One nafkamina would be that how the Avnei Miluim could suggest that even though a woman is already in someone else's rishus, that normally she can't get married again, normally that's enough. No! But as long as there's something in Kedusha that's being, it's called Kedushin, we need to elaborate on what this idea of Kedushin is, but as once there's Al-Safas Kedusha, then that already is a reason for the Kedushin to be chal. Let me give you another fascinating nafkamina. This is more straightforward. The Avnei Miluim and the Pnei Yoshua is a little complex. Let's go with something very, very straightforward. The Gemara in Kedushin Daf Yud Gimel Mebeis says that just like, we're gonna skip the details of the Shakwa Tari of the Gemara. The Gemara says that just like a man, Yud Gimel Mebeis, the Gemara says that just like a man is allowed to divorce his wife, and once he relinquishes her, she goes free and she's able to marry everybody else. So too, the Gemara says, if the man disappears, the man dies, so in such a case, she also is allowed to marry somebody else. Says the Pnei Yoshua, wait a second. Whoa, whoa, whoa. He says, that parsha of Gerushin, which is the source for Mises Habal, according to one opinion there in the Gemara, on Yud Gimel Mebeis, that's not Shaykh by a guy. Gerushin is not shaykh by a guy. There's no parsha of a kasav l'sefer krisus v'nasam b'yada. Says the Pnei Yoshua, I'm not sure if Mises Habal applies by a guy. Wow. That would mean, according to Pnei Yoshua's question, that prior to Bnei Noach, he's bothered, how is it that when the husband dies, she can marry anybody else? So I saw a beautiful idea from Rav Asher Weiss. It says, based on what we said above about the chiluk between the nature of Kedushin of Yisrael versus a Gentile marriage, the chiluk between Bnei Noach and Yisrael works in the following way. He says, a Jew needs Gerushin because you need a Kinyan Isur to create the Kedushin. To undermine the Kinyan Isur, you need Gerushin. But what creates marriage for a Gentile? Now we really get into the bowels with this nafkamina. What creates marriage for a Gentile? You know what creates marriage for a Gentile? What creates marriage for a Gentile is the man and woman living with each other as husband and wife. That's what creates the Kedushin. You know what breaks it? They stop living with each other. That's Gerushin. That's divorce. So of course then Mises Habal is Mafkiyat. Beautiful, beautiful ma'al. If you understand, as we have brought out, that the whole notion of the Kedusha of Bnei Noach is them simply being with each other, living with each other as husband and wife, and there's nothing more than that, and that's what Matan Torah is. Poga Isha B'Shuk, so then in such a case, how is divorce created? By them no longer living with each other. You don't need a parsha of Gerushin, and therefore need a parsha of Mises Habal, Rav Asher Weiss argues. A beautiful point. Now let's come back to the question that we had asked in the parsha itself. Is the parsha of Adam the appropriate parsha for marriage of Bnei Noach? Once we know the difference between the two halachic categories of Bnei Noach and the Kedushin of Yisrael? What's the expression? Alkein Yezov Ish Esaviv Esimov Davak Bishta. The marriage that's described in Bereishis is a marriage of Dvekus. Let's use this Pnei Yoshua and the Yisod that Rav Asher Weiss was bringing out. The antithesis of the Kedusha of Bnei Noach is the Pru Urvu of Adam and Chava. Why? Because the Kedusha of Bnei Noach is a utilitarian approach. It's practical, it's pragmatic, it serves a purpose. When they need each other, they're there for each other. when one no longer needs the other,